Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Hello and welcome to the March 19th, 2012 edition of Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, joined by Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins, and I believe it's again being joined by Professor Morte from Monstrosity Championship Wrestling.
Yes!
Yes.
Here I am, live in the undead flesh.
Morte, you made an appearance at Empire Wrestling on Friday, which was a very PCW feeling show until Jeff G. Bailey came out after intermission, but you were gone by then. But what did you think of that show?
Oh, I thought it was fantastic. It was, you know, it was tough for me to have to leave because there were some great matches going on. I didn't see what happened at the end of the night, but you know, there was a lot of searing violence in there for sure while I was there, but I had other obligations, so I had to, turn into a bat and get out of there.
Right. So you were you there scouting your competition or just checking out the show? I believe that's the first time I've ever seen you at Academy Theater.
Well, you know, I was checking out the competition. You know, those, you know, I don't even know where these alliances are going to be with these guys or what's going to happen. You know, with, you know, like I said, there's a enough of these guys in PCW, they look like they're monsters already. So they wouldn't even need a lot of help in the monster department. But we're still trying to figure out exactly what is going to happen at this thing.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
with the monsters and the masked wrestlers and whatnot.
Right. Well, the time is ticking down. It's March 28th is the date of that, and just to remind people who have maybe missed it over the past few weeks, that's the Wrestling with Pop Culture anniversary party, and
it's
it will
big
be a
wrestling party.
Yes, indeed. Monstrosity Championship Wrestling will be taking on whoever shows up from PCW.
Yeah, PCW.
And we've got a couple of bands playing and various other festivities.
And beforehand at the Landmark Theater, the PCW movie's going to show.
That's
going to start the whole night off out right at the Landmark, and then we'll move it over to the Masquerade.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have later tonight we'll have Mike Perkins, the guy who directed the movie, on as a guest, but it looks like Steve Platinum's calling in again. I don't know if he's calling to announce something about that show or if he has something else to talk about. But first of all, Steve, that was a great show on Friday. I don't know how much you had to do with it, but it felt like a very PCW show as opposed to an Empire show. And then, of course, Saturday you were in Porterdale, and that was another very, very interesting setting for PCW, I would say.
Yes, that was, Porterdale is a very traditional wrestling town, but they probably haven't had wrestling in that town in more than 20 years. So the audience is very different. There's a lot of, like, older people who are obviously, like, diehard wrestling fans from back in the day, and actually it seemed like almost the whole town turned out for that show, which was great.
Yeah.
Probably not a lot going on in Porterdale, though, huh?
Not necessarily. Well, we were apparently we were the thing going on. On April 7th, we're going to run a show there again, and it'll be Platinum Championship Wrestling. And it looks like it's going to be a regular thing there. So that's one of the reasons I'm calling up, and I'm excited about that. So we're looking at doing the first and third Saturdays of every month in Porterdale. So that's great news. And, of course, I heard you guys, I caught the tail end of you guys talking about it. Of course, you know, the Booker playing at Landmark Theater and then rolling on over to the Masquerade on March 28th for MCW against PCW. So very, very excited about that.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what happens there, but it seems like you and Morte are both kind of just gonna also see what happens.
Yeah, you never know. You never know with these things. You know, I can tell there's gonna be some big surprises there for sure, though.
Yes, I think I have a feeling Professor Morte and I are probably going to try to top one another with the surprises. So that's going to be very, very interesting. And I think a kind of a chess match going on there to see what we can get away with and what can be accomplished. So.
Great.
All right. Well, Morte, do you have anything else to say about that show this week, or are we just going to have to wait and see what happens?
Be prepared to get your eyeballs yanked out of your skulls. You know, it's going to be like wrestling that you haven't seen before. Not quite, you know, maybe something that you've seen in the movies, but, you know, we're going to try to pick things up a little bit, you know, and from what I've heard in the grapevine, Supernatural has got something crazy planned.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's really all I'm allowed to talk about at this point.
All right.
But things are going to get pretty supernatural at the Masquerade on the 28th, that's for sure.
Oh, yes.
Right.
I mean, it's a big week all around, I think. You know, Friday, of course, is the Platinum Classic with Davey Richards and Tony Kazina. And then Saturday, actually, they said that they want to do it Saturday morning. At 10 in the morning, they're going to run a wrestling seminar at the Academy Theater, mostly for wrestlers, but anybody who really wants to learn about wrestling and get in the ring with those guys and learn some stuff can do that 10 in the morning on Saturday. So between that and the wrestling with pop culture and the showing of the Booker,
yeah,
it's going to be a huge week. So
great week for Atlanta wrestling, for sure.
Yes. And
yeah,
the MCW versus PCW, that's kind of the culmination of all of it. So that's going to be a big, huge blowout, big, huge event. So.
Yeah, well, Morte, I appreciate you calling in yet again.
Thanks,
and I guess we'll hear from you next week, and it'll be just
yep.
the day before
See
the
you
event.
In a week.
So. But Steve, you also announced on Friday that Kyle O'Reilly would be at Academy Theater on Friday. Is that still
yes.
part of the plan?
Kyle O'Reilly and Tony Kozina, actually, the multi-time NWA Junior Heavyweight Champion of the world, are both going to be in a match along with Nauseousism and Fred Yehi. So that's going to be a crazy great match. It's a nice capper. And Davey Richards says he's going to bring a surprise with him that I can't really divulge, but it's basically somebody from New Japan Pro Wrestling is coming back with him. He's in Japan right now. He gets back tomorrow, bringing somebody from New Japan with him. So that person's going to be there on Friday as well. So that's going to be a night of surprises.
Absolutely. And Danny Only has now joined us, and he's going to be part of that Platinum Classic with all those other people. Davey Richards is obviously the big name, but Tommy Daniels, and who all else is in that?
Zach Daniels, Hayden Young, Danny Only, the Jagged Edge, and Davey Richards. Those are the six.
Well, Danny, you had a big weekend last weekend as well, but we'll get to that in just a minute. But, Steve, before we let you go, the seminar on Saturday, I think one thing worth noting is how much or how little it costs. Do you want to talk about that
yes,
a little bit?
If you are a working wrestler, it's $25, which is incredibly cheap. And if you are just a fan of wrestling or looking to break into the business, it's $50. And the best way to get a hold of me to reserve your spot, because as soon as the announcement was made this morning, I mean, even Tony Kozina called me and just was like, oh, my God, like everybody's already kind of getting with me about it, and I'm sending them your way and all that kind of stuff. So the spots are filling up pretty fast. But the best way to get a hold is just platinumchampionshipwrestling@gmail.com. That's the best way. Or finding us on Facebook. But I really would just email us at platinumchampionshipwrestling@gmail.com to reserve your spot for 10 in the morning on Saturday.
All right. Well, Steve, we've got Pandora as one of our guests tonight, as well as Michael Perkins, who directed the Booker. So I don't know if you want to stick around for any of that or if you have other things to do, but you're welcome to stay on the line since it's such
I have to go back to teaching the MMA class, actually.
All right. But, okay. Well, I appreciate you calling.
Well, thanks, guys. Have a good night, Danny and the boys.
Thanks.
All right.
So, Danny.
Yeah, hey, actually, I can't stay long, man, because I just stepped out from work to call in and give an update. Yeah, I had a pretty big weekend, and I was calling to brag because I thought about it, and me and Strychnine did something this past weekend that no one in the history of Georgia wrestling has ever done and more than likely will never be done again. And we beat both Talent and Money and Hot Like Lava in the same night. So that's definitely worth something. And I think that what we did this weekend, you know, we came up short against Chip and Corey, but, you know, no big deal. I don't mind losing to those guys, but we won three of the four matches that we wrestled this weekend. You know, we wrestled three matches and then drove 3 hours to wrestle again and won three of the four in convincing fashion. So if people weren't aware of it before, they damn sure better be now that the Hate Junkies are definitely one of, if not the best tag team in the state of Georgia. And, you know, whoever was there and saw the show can vouch for it. It was good. You know, wish the crowd could have been bigger, but it is what it is.
Right. And
that's
you're talking about the Will Grayson Memorial that was on Saturday that you guys made it to the finals, and then you went up to TNT. And who did you face there?
Well, we're in the midst of a conflict with a little ass clown up there named Ryan Bonebreak and his lackeys, Asylum Enterprises, and he paid a bounty for some rejects to come after us, and it didn't turn out very well for him. James Boulevard and Jackson something, I don't know, but we beat the crap out of them, and it was fun. But anyway, I got to run, and I got to get back to work and try to make sure that I still have a job here in the next few weeks. So you guys have a good show, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for calling.
All right, buddy, be good.
All right, talk to you next week. And now, perfect timing, we are being joined by our first official guest, Pandora. Pandora, recently you had a shot at the NWA Women's title, which we talked about on here the Monday after it happened, and then you've had a shot at the Empire title at the Masquerade, I guess, about a month ago, and I think a lot of other big opportunities recently. Am I missing anything?
Recently, no. I've had a lot of opportunities, and I have a lot more coming.
Right. So, of course, Pandora, one of the few female wrestlers in Georgia. You've been feuding with Aisha Sunshine for probably more than a year now, off and on, and you had a good feud with Tracy Taylor, and clearly one of the stronger female wrestlers. You often face opponents of the other gender and fare as well as many men, or better than a lot of men do against them. So I guess what is it like being a female, not necessarily a bigger female at that, and wrestling in Georgia, taking on men and women like Aisha Sunshine and Tracy Taylor?
Well, definitely I have to use my size to my advantage because I am so little. So it's my speed that actually gets me the wins against these people. And I do want to point out that I did beat Aisha Sunshine at Porterdale in Porterdale, Georgia this weekend.
You did? Yeah.
Yes, on Saturday. It was a great show, great turnout. And she didn't have the rest of her We Are Three crew there. So no interference, clean win. Pandora wins.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I know Matt was at... What's that?
No, go ahead.
I know Matt was at the match where you faced the NWA Women's Champion. I unfortunately wasn't able to make it, so I don't know if Matt wants to talk about that or has any other questions for you.
Yeah, that match, there was a lot going on in that match. And there was some talk of maybe y'all hooking it up again in the future, maybe with some stipulations in place to kind of keep all the extra activity out of. We got any update on that, maybe?
I haven't gotten any word. Nothing yet, but, I mean, clearly we all do know that I did make the NWA Women's Champ tap out.
I saw it. Oh. I was there. I saw it.
You saw it.
Yep. Yeah, who?
You also are involved in the ACW shows and sort of, you're all over the place. what do you look for when you're sort of picking some of these places to go wrestle? Are you looking strictly based on women there for you to challenge, or are you just up for any challenge any time it's offered to you?
There isn't a challenge I won't accept. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter how long they've been in the business, how experienced they are. I won't decline any challenges. None. And speaking of ACW, I am going to be there on April 7th, and there's going to be a women's tournament for their first crowned women's champ.
What is ACW?
That's Alabama Championship Wrestling in Carbon Hill.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you might want to be there for that one.
Well, that's the same night PCW is doing their next Porterdale show.
Right. I mean, we won't be there, and I hate that we won't, but, I mean, you can't lose going either way, going to Porterdale
right.
and seeing PCW, because they'll rock it, I'm sure, again, or you can come see the women tear it down in Carbon Hill, Alabama. So the choices are endless.
Right. I know you have another women's title match, I think, in one of the Carolinas coming up, don't you?
Right. Saturday at Ring Wars Carolina, I'm fighting Mia Svensson for the RWC Women's Champ. So that should be an interesting one. Mm-hmm.
This Saturday?
Yes.
And what is that promotion? RW what?
RWC, Ring Wars Carolina.
Okay. And where can people find out about that? Or do you know what the website is or anything?
It's in Fayetteville, North Carolina. If you actually go on my Facebook page, Pandora PCW, you can check that out.
Okay.
There's a flyer there, and then it's ringwarscarolina.net, I believe.
Net, I believe. Yeah, I think it's
net, right. I believe. You have to get that right, so, yeah.
And you're also teaming with the Bullets. Is that in Irwin, Georgia?
The Bullets will be in Griffin, Georgia on May 26th. Yeah, it'll be me and the Bullets against Aisha Sunshine, Mason, and Hayden Young.
Yes.
So, feel bad for that town.
What promotion is that?
That's going to be EWA. It's Elite Wrestling Alliance. It's like an organization run by, like, churchy people, I guess, is the only way I can describe them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, yes, got some big things coming.
Something tells me you may not be the fan favorite in that building. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, I'm thinking no. Thinking maybe no. My charm's not going to work there.
Especially with that big NY tattoo.
Of course. You might
catch it a little bit.
That's all right. It doesn't matter.
Well, Pandora, I know you only had a few minutes to talk tonight, but mm-hmm. do you have any other shows you want to mention? Are you going to be part of the my show on March 28th at Masquerade?
I sure am. I wouldn't miss it. And, of course, I mean, PCW every Friday night in Avondale Estates. And, of course, if you haven't been there, then you don't know that I'm on a quest to get my hands on Rachel Freeman. But, of course, standing in my way is grotesque. So hopefully I've gotten smarter within the year. And hopefully I've gotten smarter within this year and I can get through him and get her quicker than I got Quinn, of course.
Right.
So.
Well, I know Grotesque used to be your pet and he's gone through, you know, Quinn and now Rachel Freeman. Would you ever consider trying to get him back on your side, or do you think that tie is just completely broken?
Nah, that's over with. I don't, you know, he's a stepping stool, so I don't need him anymore. I can handle my own business. Clearly, these women aren't as strong as me, and they need him. So I'm good solo. I can pretty much handle it by myself. So I would look out, Rachel Freeman. I would look out. But I do have to go, guys, because they just called me back. So I'm glad that you had me on your show. And stay tuned for PCW on Friday nights in Avondale Estates.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Okay, no problem. All right.
Bye. All right. So off to another great start this week.
Get them in, get them out. That's all we do.
Yeah. You know what? The show's, you know, we're done. No, I'm just kidding. well, yeah, so we had a big weekend, of course. St. Patrick's Day had a lot of wrestling shows. We talked about a couple of those already. But you got to stick around for the rest of the Will Grace Memorial. I had to leave after the first intermission to get out to that Porterdale show because I was very curious about that. But, of course, we all know Jimmy Rave approved. Corey Hollis and Chip Day won the tournament. But how was the rest of the show, Matt?
It was overall, it was an outstanding show. You know, that show was special in for many reasons. You know, what Mark's trying to put on there for Will's memory is something that's a unique sort of that show, and it's always really powerful. I was at the show last year, and there was so much going on at the show last year that the sort of the specialness and the intimateness of it got lost in the mix. But I think this year they went above and beyond, and they put a lot of teams on that, you know, Will had seen and had some history with. He was a huge Chip Day fan, and so having Chip wrestle three matches on that show was just special for his memory. But as far as the wrestling went, it was one of the better shows I've seen so far this year. You can't go wrong with any of the teams they had. And, you know, the Bullets turned in a great performance. You know, Tommy Daniels and Zach Daniels were teaming maybe for the first time. You know, they certainly hadn't done it much. And so a lot of interesting spots in that match where they couldn't quite get it together. And then the Bullets and Jimmy Rave Approved turned in just a beauty of a match. I mean, it was all over the place, as you figure those teams would be. And then the final with Rave Approved and the Hate Junkies was just a slaughterhouse. It ended up spilling out into the crowd, and, you know, neither team really got a clear-cut advantage, but the winner was the fans and the loser was everybody's chest because kicks and chops were all over the place. And you saw a great win by Jimmy Rave Approved. If you beat the Hate Junkies, no matter how many matches they wrestled, you've accomplished something tonight. So it was a great show all around. Saw the sort of the furtherment of some of the UIW business as well with Billy Knight, Terry Lawler interfering in the Frankie Valentine, Josh Storm match, which put Jimmy Rave Approved going forward to the next round. So something to look for in their next upcoming shows as well.
Yeah. Well, the part that I saw was definitely good. All the matches were good for the first, I saw the first four matches.
Mm-hmm.
And all the teams looked good. I loved the Hot Like Lava, and what was the name of that team they took on?
They
the first
took
round?
On the
Flamboyant
Best Friends Forever.
Best Friends Forever. That was good because they're both very comedic teams, and so I thought that one was a lot of fun.
I think that's the first time I've ever seen Hot Like Lava be fan favorites in a building, too. So it was weird for me to kind of see these guys all over around. You know, you get used to crew being sort of rough on the fans and all that, but they were not hated that night. So that was strange in its own right. But just a good day all around. It was early in the day, so you could get out of there and get to other shows like what you did. And, you know, Porterdale was the first all-you-can-eat-less PCW show in probably 2 years, so I'm sure that experience was a little different without having to deal with us.
Well, that's not the only reason it was different. It was, like Steve said earlier, it was a town of, you know, it was a much older crowd than we usually see at a PCW or Empire show, and clearly, I know it was part of the circuit, you know, back in the Georgia Championship Wrestling days, they used to wrestle right across the street from where this show was on Saturday. And, you know, Shane Mackey, PCW announcer, told me he had his first wrestling match in Porterdale, so it was kind of a homecoming or just a special occasion for him. But that was clearly a crowd that had been starved for professional wrestling live for, you know, like Steve said, about 20 years, and they were really into it. It was a really pretty small venue, but it was packed with people. People were standing against the walls. There wasn't an empty seat, and everybody was yelling. And when people would fall out of the ring, all these old women would get all in their faces. It was a lot like, I guess, a Peach State crowd, except even more old school wrestling crowd than that. But and it was an odd mix. It was like Bizarro PCW almost. Marty Freeman was there, and he wasn't only managing Empire people. He managed Johnny Danger.
I think I saw that online. I was like, what in the world is going on? But
yeah, I don't know if that was they were giving Johnny Danger a shot or what was going on. But the first match, Mason put his title on the line, his PCW title, against Johnny Danger, and Mason was victorious, of course. Matt Sells, who was normally part of the Empire, took on Jagged Edge, another Empire member, and that was a great match. Aisha Sunshine and Pandora. There was a battle royal that was pretty interesting, and that was they did 1 hour, and then they took an hour break, and then they did another hour. So by then, the Washington Bullets had made it over from the Will Grace Memorial, so they were part of the second half. And who else was there? Shane Marks and Fred Yehi had a great match. That was like a, it was almost like a Ring of Honor match. You know, there was a lot of near falls, a lot of kickouts, a lot of big finishing moves that got people, you know, they kicked out of, and the crowd was definitely eating that up too.
I really hate I missed that one. I hate to miss Fred Russell anywhere, especially if it's against a talented, albeit treacherous person like Shane Marks. But that being said, I can't take from his talent, so I'm sure that tore the house down.
Yeah, well, there was a stipulation too, where if Shane Marks won, he got to wrestle Stephen Platinum. If Fred Yehi won, Stephen Platinum got to wrestle Rachel Freeman. Shane Marks won the match, so, but there never really was a Stephen Platinum versus Shane Marks match, because Pandora ran in, and then a bunch of other people ran in, and then the main event was a lumberjack match, since everyone was out there already. It was Marco Polo and Mason, and Mason again successfully defended his PCW title. So definitely an interesting weekend. But and this weekend is equally interesting, it looks like. A lot of big shows. Of course, Monday Night Raw will be here next week, so we will be doing our show on Tuesday. And our only scheduled guest is James J. Dillon, who, of course, will be inducted into the Hall of Fame the following weekend in Miami for WrestleMania weekend. And he and the Four Horsemen are being inducted, so that should be a great interview.
Probably won't need another guest if we just talk to JJ, because he's got plenty to tell us.
Yeah, well, that was...
I've heard him give a number of interviews, and they're never boring, and I don't hear stories duplicated. He's just an encyclopedia of the good old days, as some people call it.
Yeah, well, I interviewed him last summer when he was coming to town for that NWA Fan Fest. I talked to him on the phone about a week or so before that, and he had a lot of stories to tell then. And then he was on Ringside Rap, I think, about 2 weeks ago, and had a lot of, you know, he's just a wealth of wrestling stories because he's been in the business for so long and was so prominent with the Four Horsemen through the NWA and WCW days. And of course, he worked for WWE, and he's done all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, I booked only one guest for that very reason, because I knew between his stories and the questions that me, you, and Danny Only would have to ask him, there'll be no shortage of talking going on.
That's right.
But also next weekend, of course, Empire is on Friday, and UCW is doing another series of shows, Universal Championship Wrestling, this Saturday at the North Atlanta Trade Center. And then they've got some more the following weekend. But those shows are always interesting. You know, they've got, I think, Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner's on the bill again. And Matt Hardy was a part of the last show. And they always have Hot Like Lava's there. And those are star-studded occasions in the wrestling world. What else is going on this weekend? Rampage is on Sunday.
Rampage will be on Sunday. Let's see. I believe Anarchy would have been off last week, so I think they'll be on. Are they on this week? I know they have a big event coming up soon. I would believe they have a TV tape, and I think UIW will be. I know their show got canceled last week. I'm pretty sure that they'll be running again out near the Carrollton Villa Rica area somewhere. I'm trying to find some details on that now. So, because they've got a lot going. I know they have a bigger show. They have a Friday night show. That may be next week. And they've got a lot of great matches on there. So, yeah, that Friday night is going to be packed. So anywhere in the state you are, you should have a short trip to a great show.
Yeah, well, Anarchy's on Saturday. Who are you saying has shows Friday?
I believe UIW will have a Friday show.
Oh, okay.
Very soon.
Yes. Well, our next guest will be calling in any minute. His name is Michael Perkins, and he, as we mentioned earlier, he's responsible for the PCW documentary, The Booker, which is screening on March 28th at the Atlanta Film Festival. And anyone who has a badge for the Atlanta Film Festival and comes over after that will be able to get into the Wrestling with Pop Culture show at the Masquerade for free. And also, I have, or Academy Theater still has $5 tickets, which I believe they will have until this Friday. I think they're selling pretty well, though. The tickets will be $10 at the door otherwise. But, yeah, so you saw The Booker, didn't you, Matt?
I did. We saw it that night. That was something that, you know, you don't get to have much in your wrestling fandom is to watch a documentary about your home promotion, as I call it, and sit there and enjoy it with the wrestlers themselves. And that was something to, you know, something to be a part of, to be allowed sort of into the inner circle for a little while just to get to enjoy things. And that documentary is, if you are a wrestling fan and you ever wondered how a promotion gets from A to B and then how it goes on to C, it is a must watch. You know, I've seen a lot of things over the last few years that wrestling documentaries have gotten kind of popular. There's several things I've seen on Netflix here and there, but this one blows them all away because it doesn't focus just on the wrestling. It focuses on everything that's involved with how to have a wrestling company, and that's something you don't get to see much anywhere. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to rewatch it yesterday. I got a promo DVD copy. So it starts in 2008 when Stephen Platinum first started trying to make a push to run a real promotion with regular shows and things like that. And it starts at Relapse Theater and moves through the various other places that they went, Samsung Studios, and then all the way to Academy Theater, all the way up to Sacred Ground Chapter 1 in September of 2010. And that's where the documentary ends. But I believe we've got Mike on the line now. Thanks
for
calling. Is that you, Mike?
Yeah. Hi, guys. How are you doing?
All right. How are you?
Good. Just finished up dinner, man. So feeling all right.
Well, I appreciate you calling. We were just giving our listeners a little background on the documentary that'll be screening next Wednesday, the 28th. And, of course, got a big after party after that, but let's talk about the movie a little bit. I want to know, first of all, I know you've made some other documentaries about motocross and things like that, but what attracted you to wrestling in general and in particular Stephen Platinum and PCW, and how did you get involved with all that?
Well, you know, just going back to when I was a little kid, I grew up here in the South, and, you know, I watched Joe Pedicino and Bonnie Blackstone every Saturday night. So I've always, you know, had a fan, you know, I've always been a fan of professional wrestling. And I knew Steve. Steve had done some voiceover work for me. I met him through some friends at Dad's Garage, and I really didn't know about his professional wrestling background. I just knew he had a great voice, and after working with him for a little bit, you know, I found out some more about that, and it kind of timed out perfect because I had been doing a lot of projects that were 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. You know, filming, and then you'd make the movie or, you know, you'd make the television show. I was really looking for something that I could, you know, spend a couple of years on, and for that to be, you know, possible at all, it had to be something that was local and was in Atlanta. And, you know, Steve said, yeah, I'm getting my wrestling school back together just kind of casually one day, and I casually said, well, hey, you know, I could make a documentary about that. What do you think? He was like, sure, no problem. And I imagine he was probably, you know, just, I guess, humoring me at that point, thinking, you know, there's no way this guy's going to stick around for, you know, it was about 4 years that we were filming, and I've been, you know, around the whole promotion. But it just kept going, you know, and I would call Steve once or twice a month and find out what's going on. He was really good about keeping a dialogue and letting me know what was happening. And it just rolled and rolled and rolled until, you know, I said Sacred Ground Chapter 1. This is a good spot for us to cap our story. So I really think about the movie itself as like an origin story. You know, the people listening out there are comic book fans. You know, I mean, where did Batman come from? That kind of thing. And this is just the origin story of PCW. You know, how it all came about. And you know, Steve chasing his dream to be a big-time wrestling promoter and have wrestling out there that's actually good instead of some of the crap that's sent over the wires these days.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Well, we've got a caller. Let's see if this is someone that might have a question for you, Mike.
Sure.
Hey, thanks for calling Georgia Wrestling Now. Who do we have on the line? Hello? All right, never mind. Well, Mike, I saw you at Academy Theater on Friday, which was the first time you'd been to what's now called Empire Wrestling show in quite a while. How do you think it's progressed since you finished the movie?
I'd say the biggest thing is just the number of new faces. You guys know, being around wrestling, there's a constant turnover, people coming in, coming out, people getting injured. You know, life happens to us, but that's been the big thing, you know, for me. I mean, especially since Empire, but even since Sacred Ground Chapter 1, is I go in and I'm like, hey, who's this guy? Who's this guy? Wow, I wish you'd have been around 3 years ago. And there's people that aren't there anymore that, you know, I miss seeing. And, you know, but I think overall it's just grown. It's gotten better. The stories get more complex. And when you add in the surrealists, for people who've seen a PCW show, I mean, you're not getting anything like that in any other, you know, wrestling promotion. And I don't know, I think it's going, you know, the right direction. It's just a matter of, you know, one day the right guy is going to see that promotion and go, you know what, with a couple of dollars, this thing can be huge, because the content is there, the ideas are there. So, and it's, I don't know about you guys, but I love seeing, like, you know, skinny, tiny dudes wrestle. I love to see the big tubby guy wrestle, because that's what it was, you know, when you go back to NWA and World Championship Wrestling that I watched in the 80s. You know, now everything is just all big, muscle-bound guys with, you know, spray-on tans, and they all use their real name, even if it's not their real name. It doesn't sound like an interesting name. So
yeah,
it's just dull. But PCW, man, you never know what you're going to get. Like I said, what was it, Oscar Worthy rapped this last week when I was there? That's
O-Dub.
O-Dub, yeah. And that's just, like I said, you're just not going to see that kind of entertainment, I guess, at these other promotions.
Right. Well, Matt, do you have any questions for Mike?
Yeah, I was wondering, the wrestler was sort of being made and being released in the time that you were shooting this documentary. Do you think the success of that film kind of helped you move forward, you know, sort of business-wise with maybe getting the movie put out?
You know, I can tell you what happened when I saw it. It was a big, you know, oh, shit moment for me. Oh, can I curse? It's the internet,
that's
right?
Fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was like, oh, my God, you know, I can't believe they made a movie, you know, that's like this. And I love Darren Aronofsky. I mean, his work is amazing. So I really liked that movie. And after I got over my initial shock of going, oh, no, they've made this movie and this is going to kill me, it's like, there goes my idea, you know, I really started thinking about it. I was like, you know, this, The Wrestler, as good of a movie as it is, the only thing it has in common, really, is professional wrestling. You know, I mean, when I talk to distributors and press people and stuff like that about the movie, I mean, specifically non-pro wrestling fans, you know, the first thing they say is like, well, what was it like hanging out with a bunch of, you know, meatheads all this time? And it's like, that's not what the story is about, you know, that's the thread. It's the story of one guy, you know, trying to persevere. And so once I kind of got that, you know, sorted out in my head, I was happy that The Wrestler had been made. A, it's a great movie, and B, that's more people who are going to get, you know, just a little more interested in, you know, professional wrestling and say, hey, wait, there's more levels to these people. You know, it's not just big, dumb jocks. You know, there's an art form behind it. So I definitely dug that movie. I hope you guys did too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
there
absolutely
are scenes in the Booker that really give you an unprecedented look backstage at a wrestling event. Have you had any, negative backlash from maybe the wrestling community as to how much it did show, given that some people are very protective of the backstage area?
Yeah, I think you got to go back to PCW just being a unique atmosphere. I don't think I would have gotten that level of access at another promotion because of kayfabe, and, you know, hopefully you fans know about kayfabe, the idea of carrying the story, you know, all the way through, even into the parking lot when you're getting in your car to drive away. If you're a heel, you got to be a heel. I haven't gotten really any blowback from that. Most of the wrestling journalists that I've talked to, and I guess we'll just call them experts for lack of another term for them, have been very positive about it. Like, this is really, really cool. And I think that barrier had been broken already. If you go to Beyond the Mat, when they spent a lot of time with Jake Roberts and Mick Foley, you know, so that wall had kind of been broken. People knew, you know, what was going on. So there hasn't been really any pushback, or at least none voiced to me. You know, I've had many other critiques and criticisms about the movie, but nobody's saying, hey, how could you, you know, let the public in on our secret, or, you know, show the behind the scenes that ruins the show? Because I think it, excuse me, I think at this point in time, everybody knows that it's a show, you know. But that, just because you know it, there's predetermined outcomes and things like that, doesn't take away from the physicality involved and the theatrics that are involved. And that was one of the things that was really nice when I working with the folks over at PCW, is, you know, I would explain that to them, like, this is what I'm trying to do. You know, I'm not Michael Moore. I don't want to make you look dumb, things like that. I want to talk about this as an art form, you know. And I think once they saw that, and this didn't honestly saw that I kept coming back and I would be at, you know, show after show after show, they're like, okay, well, maybe this guy's for real and it isn't, you know, gotcha journalism. He's really, you're interested in seeing it. So people, it took a while. You know, Steve was very good from the very beginning about talking through his thoughts and his philosophy of, you know, wrestling. And it took, I would say, probably about 9 months to a year of being around quite often before the wrestlers really started to open up to me, which that was, you know, a watershed moment when that happened. I remember coming back from I think it was at Sam Stone's, coming back from a shoot there and talking to my wife, and she was like, well, how'd it go? And I said, you know, people actually opened up to me tonight. So I don't know if there was a locker room meeting before I got there and they said, hey, this guy seems all right, let's talk to him or what. But, yeah, that was definitely a big change, you know, in the filming, because before then I was just kind of like, I was just a guy there with a camera. After that, when people really started interacting with me, it became a lot more fun and a lot more enlightening, I guess. That was a really long, rambling question. I'm not sure if I answered what you asked.
I was hoping that was the case. I know I watched it with my daughter there at the Academy Theater that night, and it, you know, the parts that maybe she wouldn't have understood, she didn't have any interest in. You know, she just, nothing changed. I know you must have had a wealth of footage, because I know I saw you just about every week when I was there. Is there any plans for that footage that didn't make the cut to go anywhere, or is that just what we see, what we're going to see?
Well, I do, during the process of cutting this movie down, and I think the final tally for footage was like 63 hours of footage we had to cut down to, you know, an hour and a half, roundabout. And so in that process, you know, we made the movie. Me and my editor, Alex Williams, said, hey, look, we've got our outline here. Let's just put the movie together, how we want to put it together, and then we'll cut back. And so after we were done with our first, you know, run through of editing, what they call a fine cut, we were at about an hour and 57 minutes. And so I was like, okay, well, this is too much. And so we just went back through and said, okay, well, this doesn't, you know, if you remove this piece, it doesn't unhinge the story. If you remove this piece, it, you know, everything, the flow is still there. So we've got like entire sections of the movie that were, you know, cut out, basically because, and you're trying to appeal to as wide an audience as possible and get it down to a reasonable amount of time. So there are entire sections that were cut out that we have still, you know, as you know, on timelines. And the hope is when we sell it to a distributor that we can say, hey, we want to put these on as extras. Here's just an example. Like, there was a wonderful time. It's in the movie, Steve talks about how iDrum, you know, wants to censor them and blah, blah, blah. Well, the next day, right after that, we went to iDrum with him and saw these crazy-ass promos that he had Campus Strike Force do. And it's extremely funny, but it just didn't, you know, it wasn't necessary. So there's a good, like, 3.5-minute, you know, story there at the iDrum that we got cut out that could you know, if you watch the whole movie and then you want more, go to the extras and say, well, hey, let me check out what this is. Or we did a series of interviews with Matt Myers that just didn't end up working in the final cut. So there's, you know, all these Matt Myers interviews that you can watch. So, the goal is after we sell it for a distributor to say, yeah, we want to see some extras. And, you know, like I said, I did the fine cut, the hour and 57-minute version, and I didn't delete it, you know. I saved a copy of just that and said, okay, well, that's the director's cut. And in my wildest dreams, of 5 years down the road, people really love this movie, and it's got a, you know, cult following or something like that. I can come out with this, and, you know, people would appreciate it. But, you know, starting off, we wanted to make it, you know, to where pro wrestling fans would like it, you know, would appreciate it and not feel cheesed off that they were being made fun of. But also to where my mom could watch it and go, oh, this is an interesting story about an interesting guy. So there is definitely stuff, so to speak. There's a ton of footage that's on the cutting room floor, and it just, you know, it's great stuff. You just can't fit it in, you know. I can't make a Ken Burns 25-hour documentary out of this thing. Although, that guy's work has just really gone downhill.
Slow sweeps over still photos.
Yeah. Well, Mike, go ahead. Sorry.
After you, sir.
I was going to say it's funny that you mentioned Mike Myers was around back then, because he just made his PCW debut, the Ladies' Choice Matt Myers, in the Porterdale show on Saturday.
Yeah, Matt was there at the very, very beginning when we went and saw Steve at Relapse, and he was training like four people. And you know, Justin Henry was there then, and you know, he's moved on and to other things. The very first shoot I did, Matt Myers was there, and Justin Henry. I think John Williams was there too.
Yeah,
just a couple of folks, but you know, Matt, obviously a big wrestling fan, and you know, same as me, has been since he was a kid, and he was more like, I want to work with him on story. I don't think he ever really intended to get out there in front of the camera, so to speak, and do shows, but it just worked out like, hey, instead of you teaching this guy how to talk like this, why don't you just go talk like this? But he has, he's always been a funny guy, and he was one of the very first people to really open up and really answer, you know, questions about what they were trying to do, what the goals were, things like that. So I don't know. You guys are obviously all familiar. We did a bunch of stuff with the Vandal. We went and spent a day with him at college, and just didn't quite make the cut, you know. So there's a lot of neat things, you know, a lot of stuff that just can't make the movie. You know, it is what it is. I had to call Vandal on that too. Like the 2 days before we did the screening up there for all the wrestlers, I called him. I was like, hey, Vandal, just wanted to call and let you know that, I cut you out of the movie.
Well, he's not completely cut out. I see him in there a little bit.
He's in there. But making a documentary, things change, you know, especially you spend 4 to 5 years over it. The ideas I had initially going into it, you know, changed. I tell you, one of the only things that stayed the same was the name, which was kind of a funny story. You know, once we started editing it, and we were probably 3/4 of the way through, my editor and I are just looking at each other like, what the hell are we going to call this thing? You know, and it just, we've been going with the working title, PCW movie, but, you know, that doesn't sell. So we just brainstormed for a couple weeks, and then I happened to be cleaning up the office one day, and the second tape I ever went out and interviewed Steve at his house, the second tape I shot in this project, and it said The Booker on it. I was like, wait a second, that's awesome. That's a great idea. But it just goes to prove the point that, you know, we started off, this is going to be about Steve and about booking wrestling, and then it morphs into the people who are doing the wrestling, and then when you finally get down to edit everything, you know, down, it's more like, oh, okay, let's distill this back to what it originally was. So that's one of the most difficult things in documentary film, is you don't know what you're going to get, and then you kind of have to do everything with just an idea in your head, and when you get into the edit lab, then you can go, okay, where's our story? What do we really want to say with this movie?
Right. Well, Mike, we need to wrap things up and move on to the into the show, but this, I just want to make sure I'm right. The Booker is, this will be the world premiere of it at the Atlanta Film Festival, right?
It is. And people have asked me, why didn't we try to go to Sundance or you know, South by Southwest? And, you know, I say, hey, when you have a new baby, you don't take it to other people to see it. People come to see your baby. And our baby was born in Atlanta. So that's where we wanted to, world premiere to everybody. And we're in a lot of other festivals that are going to be coming up, and there'll be more information about that on our Facebook page. But it was really, really important for everybody in the crew that everybody worked on it. All Atlanta folks for its premiere in Atlanta. People don't realize this outside of the film community, but the Atlanta Film Festival is a pretty big deal, you know. If you're not a cinephile, you might not know that. And it happens every year. It just kind of, you know, passes you by here in Atlanta. But it's actually a big deal in my world and our world. So we're really excited about that. And we're going to world premiere 7/15 at the Landmark Cinema down there off of Monroe on March 28th, so we hope everybody can make it out, and I think we're going to be selling a couple copies of it after the at the after party. I talked to Steve, and we're going to do a super limited run of autographed DVDs, so you know, keep your eyes peeled, save some of your beer money when you come to the masquerade and pick up one of these things, because it'll be total collector items, you know?
Yeah, well, that'll be one of the few things people want to save their money for. I've also got some great raffle prizes and lots of other stuff going on that night. So, and of course, anyone that goes to the Atlanta Film Festival and has their badge will get in to the Masquerade for free that night for the Monstrosity Championship Wrestling versus PCW show and bands and face painting and all kinds of stuff. So, anyway, Mike, I appreciate you calling in. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how it goes, the world premiere goes at the film festival, and then, of course, looking forward to the festivities that will follow.
Oh, absolutely. And I really appreciate you guys, giving me a little bit of love here and letting people know about the movie. And just to tell all the people out there, you know, after you watch the movie, if you got any questions, I'll be the guy in the tuxedo. Just walk up to me and ask. Believe me, artists love talking about their own stuff. So,
are they doing any kind of official Q&A before or after the movie?
The festival says if the filmmaker is in attendance, they introduce the movie and then do a Q&A afterwards, and it's mandatory. So we'll see. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to play it by ear. But with that, I will let you guys get back to finishing up your show. And like I said, I really appreciate you giving me a ring and taking the time to talk to me about this. And I'll see all you fellas next week then, yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Mike. So before we move on to other things, I just want to reiterate next week we will be on Tuesday, the 27th. Georgia Wrestling Now will air on Tuesday because we will all be at the Phillips Arena on Monday for Raw, which is the last Raw before WrestleMania. And I am hopping a plane the day after my party at the Masquerade and heading down to Miami to see all of the WrestleMania festivities. So actually the week after that, I'll still be in Miami on Monday, so I guess we'll be doing that show on Tuesday the 3rd. I'll have to clear that with the Georgia Wrestling History Brass, but that'd be the tentative plan. But all that being said, I'm doing some articles for Wrestling with Pop Culture, as well as Creative Loafing and the Miami New Times about Raw coming to Atlanta and WrestleMania going to Miami and all that. So I got to interview Cody Rhodes, Intercontinental Champion for WWE, last week, and I'm going to close the show with that. But I want to remind everyone to listen to Ringside Rap on Wednesdays at 8 with Rich Tate, Les Thatcher, and Mike Sempervive. Actually, they're going to be airing an interview I did with World Heavyweight Champion Daniel Bryan on Wednesday, so tune in for that as well. And Peach State Pandemoniums is Thursdays at 8 with Mike Norris, Jerry Oates, and Bobby Simmons. The Reverend Dan Wilson has Midnight Black Mass on Fridays at midnight. And once a month on Sundays at 2 p.m. is the Ohio Valley Wrestling Overview with Larry Goodman, Trent Vendrees, and Muhammad Ali Vaez. Matt, before I play this Cody Rhodes interview, did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
just going to mention the UIW show is the 23rd at Paulding County High School. March 23rd is that UIW show.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for investigating that. And I guess we'll call it a night. Listen to the Cody Rhodes interview, please. It's about 10 minutes, and then that'll be the end of the show until next Tuesday. So thanks a lot for everyone that called in, and thanks to Matt for co-hosting, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. See ya.
Hey, Cody, how's it going?
Very good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. It feels like it's time for my annual interview with Cody Rhodes. I interviewed you a couple other times. For
third time.
Yeah. Thanks for remembering.
Oh, cool.
I
know Creative Loafing. I know I know a lot of the Atlanta stuff because I live here.
Right. Yeah, the previous interviews have been for the AJC, but this one's for Creative Loafing and perhaps Miami New Times, depending on what they want to use.
Right.
So, anyway, of course, last year, WrestleMania was here in Atlanta, and before you get to WrestleMania 28 in Miami, Raw will be here the Monday before. I know you usually don't know until that day what your place is on the show, but do you have any idea what might be going on for you that night?
In Atlanta?
Yeah.
With WrestleMania on the one-on-one contest this time with the Big Show. Last time it was with the smallest guy, and this time it's with the biggest guy.
Right.
I'm sure I'll be doing my damnedest to get under the Big Show's skin. I'm a firm believer in what I've said about the Big Show is WWE's top performers, but the WrestleMania performances have been exactly immortal moments.
Right. Well, I definitely think you've kind of gotten the best of him so far with your showing, you know, him at the WWE restaurant and all that kind of stuff.
That's the best one. Yeah.
But I guess a big question for me is, why did you choose the Big Show? I know your brother Goldust was doing a Twitter campaign to face you at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental title, so why did you choose to go after the Big Show?
Well, I think one thing about Goldust's Twitter campaign, love to work with Goldust. I'd love to stand across the ring from him and find out more about my brother. It just happened to be that the Intercontinental title is very much in need of its moment on WrestleMania. I set out to bring it back to, back to decadence, back to where it was. And I don't actually know if I've done that, but I know against one of WWE's top names, perhaps of all time, the Big Show, it's in a position for me to maybe do that. And that's why it's shifted to, myself and the Big Show. If I'm going to, figuratively knock off one top guy after another, one legend after another, then the Big Show is on that list.
Right. I don't recall the Big Show ever having held the Intercontinental title before, but I know Goldust has held it and, could be considered one of the better Intercontinental champions of the past couple of decades.
Yeah. No, Show has, that's actually the one title Show has not held. When I heard that, I was a bit in disbelief because Show has, been around a long time. As far as it concerns Goldust, I wouldn't count out me and him never competing against one another. Certainly could see that down the road. He's had some shoulder problems, and that's something that safety is number one concern to get over. He's got to be his best. I'd love to remain the Intercontinental Champion after WrestleMania. I'd certainly love to follow up on all the things he's brought down on me on Twitter and get in the ring with him, certainly.
Right. Well, considering, like you said, last year your WrestleMania opponent was one of the smallest guys, and this year it's the biggest guy, and you're not necessarily one of the bigger guys on the roster, so what are you doing to prepare for a match with someone the size of the Big Show?
I'm not one of the bigger guys on my roster, but if you really take a look at the roster, I'm actually pretty close to one of the bigger guys on the roster. I'm not as tall as Randy, but I went almost the same. I actually will say that I was concerned with the Big Show. You know, he's, I'm looking at him, and I think he's 400 pounds. I don't even want to guess or see a number on his scale. Big Show's one of those guys that he's as big as you see on television, if not bigger. So for me, I'm going to be in the ring with him. I'm going to be shot in the ring with him. I wanted to appear as thick as I could get. And one of the things I started implementing is high-volume workouts, which is lots of sets, lots of reps, high carb, high fat, high protein, little sugar, and kind of a sodium game along the way. So I actually got a nice little diet written out for this thing.
Okay.
I didn't want to show up too small.
I'm trying to remember now. Have you ever faced the Big Show one-on-one?
No. I think compete one-on-one against the Big Show. I've had matches, tag matches, fatal four ways, and I had an incident where a genuine Armani three-button suit that I had worn for a long time, he ripped it into shreds of paper. It was in 2011. So we've had a brief history, but we were actually mixed it up, you know, on a fair one-on-one scale.
Right. Well, I remember last year when I talked to you, you pointed out that WrestleMania 27 was kind of a changing of the guard of sorts, with a lot of more established guys facing a lot of younger guys. This year's card seems to be relying heavily on the more established guys, but your match in particular is another one with Big Show's got a lot more experience than you do. So how do you think your match stacks up against the rest of the card?
Well, I think you don't really know until WrestleMania said and done in the books what matches really captivated you. There are matches that are positioned to really captivate you, you know, Rock, Cena, Triple H, The Undertaker, and those guys, I just will say 100% of the time deliver, but that's the beauty of WrestleMania. That's the showcase. That's what it is. So I feel it stacks up very well. And I feel like there's a lot of people who for a long time have wanted to see the Intercontinental title genuinely defended on WrestleMania. Prior to WrestleMania in Orlando, which was, gosh, I think like a 3-minute match with Rey Mysterio and JBL, the title had not been defended on WrestleMania since 19. And here we are, you know, WrestleMania 28. This is, for me, that's one of the more important things. So I think it stacks up well.
Okay. Well, another thing we obviously talked about a lot last year was your history in Georgia and stuff, and with your father and everything, with the Four Horsemen and Ron Simmons being inducted into the Hall of Fame this year, especially the Four Horsemen with your father's history with them. What is that like for you to be a part of the WrestleMania where those guys are also being inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Well, the Hall of Fame, as much as the whole goes by, and every WWE superstar, every diva has so many appearances, and then WrestleMania is Sunday, Hall of Fame Saturday, runs deep into the night usually. Sometimes you look at it and go, like, you know, she could do it on Friday, but once you're there, once you're in seats, and once you're watching, you know, the Four Horsemen being inducted into the Hall of Fame, Ron Simmons being inducted, Mel Mascaras being inducted into the Hall of Fame, that's motivating. I don't care how late it goes into the night, just to see those little clips that our team puts together, the Four Horsemen, that's the best thing that can happen before WrestleMania, because it is extremely motivating.
Cool. Well, that's all I've got for you this time, so it's good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you too, man. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch
Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Champions of Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling at the Academy Theater in Avondale State. We're also at the Masquerade every month or so. Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Champions of Wrestling, and you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire,
formerly known as Platinum Champions of Wrestling.
We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.